The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next, navigating the tangled mess in a family calamity.
Family calamity is never uncomplicated. Would somebody agree with that? I mean, there's so many layers to it. It's so mixed up, so tangled up. In every family calamity, the rope that's hanging the whole family has come from many different strands getting tangled up in a knot. It didn't just happen over one thing.
Family calamity and restoration, next on Life Today.
I wish all of you could see how nice you look on camera. You're just a really a great looking audience. Oh, hi, you are too. Some of you are saying, I'm glad you can't see me. Well, we welcome you to Life Today. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled to present Wednesdays with Beth. Every Wednesday, Beth is on. Only a few exceptions through the year. We may have some special emphasis and maybe some series that sometimes she might not be here, but she is our regular. And she is so gifted to communicate the Word of God and truth. And Betty, we have a lot of women who watch during the daytime hours. Life Today begins airing at ABC Family early in the morning. Then it's on Discovery. Those are two national secular networks. And then we're on all the inspirational networks. And we go all the way down to 11 o'clock at night, for instance, Central Time on Daystar. We're also on Daystar at 7 in the morning. All the different networks. So we just kind of keep coming. But we know that during the daytime hours, a tremendous percentage of women, and we found that, of course, Joyce Meyer is so gifted to teach and Beth Moore so gifted, and we were blessed to have Beth come and teach on Wednesdays. And so, ladies, this is really a gift to you, but we find out men have become Beth Moore junkies, too. They say, we want to hear her. We like that. And what a blessing she is. Here she is. She's talking about family calamity and restoration. Here is Beth Moore.
Number two is this. Family calamity is never uncomplicated. Family calamity is never uncomplicated. Would somebody agree with that? I mean, there's so many layers to it. It's so mixed up, so tangled up. In every family calamity, the rope that's hanging the whole family has come from many different strands getting tangled up in a knot. It didn't just happen over one thing. A host of things come together, and what results is such a big knot that only God can unravel it. I started thinking of all the things that we go through when we're in a family calamity, that there's this whole tangled up rope, especially in the David saga, between blame and shame. Now, blame always points to somebody else, like it's their fault this has happened to us. There's blame, but then there's shame. Well, I think I probably did this or that. Maybe it's all my fault. And so we go back and forth. I mean, we're just in this dizzying flip-flop in between, you did it, no, I did it. You did it. No, I did it. You caused it. Well, maybe I caused it. Maybe I caused it. And all the complexities of going back and forth between that blame and shame. And I thought we've all heard this, but is it any truer than in a circumstance of family calamity? What a fine line there is between love and hate. What a mighty fine line there is between the two. I want to suggest to you that there's no one in your life you are more capable of hating than someone you have greatly loved. Because that emotion's so big, and you see it with Absalom and Amnon. They were brothers. They probably hung out together. One reason why he was able to hate him so much is because he'd had such capacity to love. It's strange in the passages about Amnon toward his sister. It said that he just loved her. He could not get enough of thinking about her. He thought about her all the time. He just loved her. And then it says, then he hated her. Why? Because there's a mighty fine line between love and hate, all the complexity that is involved, the complicated nature of family calamity. That's why it takes God. He can see into the secret places of our hearts. He can understand things we can't even sort out. He really does know where it began. He really does know the pain that is in under the sin, the mercy that is needed to treat what was at the origin, the broken place, the fissure in the life. He knows exactly where it was. Number three is this: family calamity often involves consequences. Family calamity often involves consequences. Now, this can be on either side. In other words, you may feel like your family calamity, and I want you to think about your family of origin, because very often, I mean, we can go 25 years and we've never really healed up from something that happened in our childhood. And we think, you know, I just try not to think about it anymore. But that just means we're getting a more and more calloused heart, especially when we have an old hatred. Remember that that old hatred is cheating us of the love for our present loved ones that didn't have anything to do with it. There's no way we can come up with a rational thought process that would excuse the fact that our hatred is not hurting anyone. Oh, yes, it is. Oh, yes, it is. And a whole lot of people that had nothing to do with it, the calamity of it, the complication of it. And it very often involves consequences. It may be consequences to your actions. It may be that I'm the one that caused this calamity. If you're like me, there have been a number of calamities, and it's just like, which one did I cause? Which one did they cause? But it often involves consequences. In other words, someone might have made a poor decision. Now, there really is just victimization. Things just happen that have no bearing on consequences at all. But I want to talk to you about this one, because this one is what makes it so complex. What if somebody's decision or somebody's decisions help bring about that kind of complication and that kind of calamity? Nothing is more complicated than that. Now, I have a good friend who just had a birthday, and my good friend is 55 years old, and her mother acknowledged her birthday this year for, stay with me here, the very first time. Somehow, because that baby was conceived outside of marriage and the friend was not told who the father was, that mom had associated so much shame with it that she just could not bring herself to celebrate that day. Now, I promise you, because this is someone I love dearly, this life is worth celebrating. This life is worth celebrating. But I tell you, things in our family can get so messed up, and somebody on the other side of that screen understands this kind of pain. We're like, why can't you celebrate me? Why can't you? Why can't this have been a good day instead of a reminder somehow of what you're ashamed of? Why can't we move on and receive God's restoration? I want somebody to hear this today. I let God redeem that day. The worst day of your life, God can redeem that day. He can go back, pick that thing up, and bring such a transformation, such redemption from what you've been through, that the devil will be sorry he ever messed with you. Why can't he redeem it? Why can't he redeem it? I love for the enemy to have to think that the first time he tempted my perpetrator to come against me and abuse me, I love to remind him that needs to be your worst memory. Because you started something that day that did not turn out well for you. Is anybody stepping in this with me? Anybody at all? Are we just gonna let him get away with it? Or at some point, do we stand up and go, that was the beginning of a powerful life. Because when you tried to render me powerless, my God came to me and said, my power will be made perfect in your weakness. I will show you what I can do. I will defy every single odd. I love 2 Corinthians 6:2 that says, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let him redeem that day. Let him redeem it. Celebrate the work your God has done. Acknowledge how he has redeemed you. Chapter 12 of Hebrews, starting at about the point of verse 5 all the way to verse 13, talk about the chastisement or the discipline of God. The discipline of God, that when we have, when we're going through some kind of suffering, a lot of suffering has nothing to do with consequences. But a lot of my pain in life has come from very poor decisions in my past. I cannot relate with anybody. So, I mean, I'm constantly just transferring that into the next situation. This is all coming from consequences. Let me show you something that happens here in the wonders of God's love. I want to show you when you and I realize that we're going through a disciplinary process with God, divine discipline. Let me show you what happens here in verse 10, Hebrews 12, verse 10. Our fathers disciplined us for a little little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good so that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, everybody say later on.
Later on.
Say it again, please.
Later on.
Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, in verse 12, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Verse 13, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Listen carefully. When we are going through a time of consequences, we got to just cast ourselves before God because He transforms our consequences into something that He just calls divine discipline. And we're all going to, first of all, tend to think that I can't think of anything worse than just subjecting myself to the discipline of God. Oh, yes, you can. David himself said, I'd rather be at the mercy of God any day than at the mercy of man. Because our God only disciplines us in such a way that will bring healing. The goal of every single chastisement of God is so that the lame would not be disabled, but would be healed. I'm going to stand here till somebody gets a word because I'm going to tell you something. Many of us have been disabled by our past actions. Yes. Disabled. We're paralyzed from them, or we're at the very least handicapped from them. He said, let me tell you something. If you will just bend your knee before me, and if you will just let me love you and let me bring healing to you, I will put you back together again. Number four is this. Family calamity does not have to be terminal. It doesn't have to be terminal. We really can find some restoration. Marriages really can be put back together again. Families really can come through disasters and have God bring such a full redemption that like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we've come through the fire and we don't even smell like smoke. Like, you want to be able to sit across the table and minister to someone and say, when they say, you just have no idea what I've been through, and you go, you know what, I'm going to tell you what I've been through. And then look at you and go, never in my wildest dreams would I have expected that out of you. Never. Because you see, we came through the fire, but we no longer smell like smoke. We need healing. You haven't been through the one thing God cannot heal you from. God can bring healing after total calamity. And not every family calamity has to end up in complete destruction, but I promise you that is the will of Satan for your family. That is the will of Satan. You want to turn that thing around where you come out of a calamity. You want to reverse that order where God brings us out of a calamity and then we sit before Him and go, who am I and who is my family, Lord, that You have brought us this far? I want to tell you a story as we close this part of our series. I have a sibling that I have loved dearly all of my entire life that has lived a story that really is hers to tell, and it will just be shocking and thrilling when she gets a format to tell it publicly. But she had, I'm watching her be restored after a 10-year dropout from life, having lost everything over the power of an addiction. I've told you guys before that our viewers that it was my family's thing. We are just riddled with addiction. We are very addictive personalities. I've said so often, all you'd have to do is watch me drink a cup of coffee and how I stare into it before I drink it to know that I have a huge capacity for addiction. And this is one of my dear loved ones who's just honestly dropped out of life. And I'm watching her little by little, seeing family moments of restoration come. There was a divorce. There was being out of her children's lives for a matter of years. But little by little, God's putting it back together because she is just celebrating a year and a month of sobriety and walking in the power and freedom of Christ. And she gives Him all credit, all credit. Her sons are slowly being restored to her. And my other sibling got with her not too long ago and he said, you know, when we were all getting together, he said, I felt completely comfortable with our sister. He said, but I wasn't sure what it would be like with the kids being there and would it be awkward. And he said, Beth, the moment I sat down, her oldest son, our nephew, said to his uncle, hey, what do you think about my mother? You know, I told my sister something. I've told this, Keith and I've talked about this many, many times. Don't we wish we'd just always done it right? Wouldn't that be something? And wouldn't we be proud of ourselves? Wouldn't we? We don't just want self-esteem. We want to be proud of ourselves. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But that's just not the way life is. Life is hard. And the devil comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I promise you, he meant to destroy you. The fact that he is not is the wonder of God alone. I said, you know, we could have just done it right, or we could just be a miracle. A miracle. She's a miracle. I said, you have won your children's respect. I want somebody to know it is not too late. No matter what you've been through, no matter how shamed you feel like you are, it is not too late. I ask you to please stay tuned to the weeks ahead of us as we see God bring us back dignity after family shame. People are going to think about us. All right. But we do get to have something to do with what they think. Maybe they could think we're a wonder. Maybe they could think we're a miracle.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
And I really hope the answer is I want a relationship. And there's no question that to have a relationship here, like for you and me to have a lasting relationship, always starts with the right relationship with God. Because it's going to be those calamities, those tragedies, those crisis moments, those challenging times. And I pray that you will find the healing, the restoration through every crisis, through every calamity. Father, I pray that for our viewers. Thank you for Beth. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your love, your forgiveness, and your restoring power. In Jesus' name. You know, one of the things that I think probably really grips our heart and tears us our heart as much as anything. As a matter of fact, it's just such a, it's a hard to even imagine that people, Betty, will take children. I mean, we understand that sex has always been a challenge through the ages. It's been something that has led to the downfall of civilizations. And so we understand that drive. We understand the beauty of what God gave us that can be so misused and become so destructive when it's intended to be so creative and beautiful. But the thought of taking a child or taking people captive and into bondage and slavery, into sexual bondage, it almost flies in the face of all common sense. It just seems like a thought too horrific to imagine, but it does happen. But here's what you need to know. We can rescue and restore lives, rescue children from it, keep them from ever being taken into that bondage, and get people out. And that's what we do together. I want you to listen to this story of one who was taken captive. Listen to her story.
As night falls in this Indian city, the clamoring sounds and shadowy figures of men in the darkness cause Sunita to become extremely uncomfortable. It is a reminder of the times in her childhood when everything around her was dark and despairing. Now, she can hardly raise her head because of the shame and crushing guilt she feels from her past. Forced into the sex slave trade by a mother who considered her a commodity, a way to earn money, Sunita was helpless and had nowhere to turn. After 4 years of torment and abuse by older men, Sunita, as a teenager, ran away and married a young man who she thought she could trust. But she found herself once again trapped in the sex slave trade by a husband who had deceived her and became her trafficker. After severe beatings and emotional abuse, Sunita became so sick she could not service any more men. Enraged by this, her husband threw alcohol on her and set her on fire. Sunita suffered severe burns from her stomach down to her legs, and she almost died. When asked how she now feels, Sunita simply replies, "I am happy to be alive."
I just want to cry out to God, asking for forgiveness for how His beautiful gift has been so idolized and not only such a distraction, but so destructive to relationships and to lives. God, forgive. All that goes on is so horrible. But Lord, please give us the grace to help these people who are held captive. You know, I'm praying for anyone that's held captive by the desire to use these who've been trafficked and little children. What a horrible bondage. We pray for those who are trapped by the addiction. But we can, and you know, we can only offer the delivering power of God to these people, and we do and we will. But we can free these slaves that are held captive by just making a way out, by rescuing them and restoring them. And that's what we're asking you to do. Betty and I always look forward to participating in every one of our outreaches because we believe so strongly in what God has called us to do. Here's very specifically what I'd like to ask you to do. Dial the phone number. If you needed someone to pray with you, it's always there. Someone who cares will pray for you and with you. And it's paid for by love. But when you dial the number today and say, "I want to rescue someone," it takes $128 to rescue someone. That's the cost. That's what it takes. That's what it takes with the mission workers we work with. That's what it takes oftentimes to keep them in a place of care. As a matter of fact, we were asking you to help us build a life center in Nepal, which is one of the areas where more are recruited than you could ever imagine out of the impoverished children and taken as slaves. We want to build a beautiful life center there. And in my opinion, it's a meager cost of $225,000 because the labor and materials are very inexpensive. But we're going to be able to impact hundreds and hundreds of precious children, change their lives, give them a future. $128 is what it takes to rescue one person. We need $225,000 to build a life center. We're asking you to pray about giving $1,000 or more toward that if you can help with the life center. We're going to send you the beautiful bronze of the Lion and the Lamb to say thank you. And I want to remind you that your gift will be matched. Whatever you give will be matched because someone else has said, "I believe so much in the importance of this that whatever someone does, I'll match it." That means even $64 will be matched and doubled to be $128. So at whatever level you can participate, please don't think it's unimportant. We are asking for large gifts for the Life Center. I'm praying, Father, that somebody give $10,000. I just feel impressed someone can do that. And it may be that you could give several thousand, or you give $1,000, but we need the $225,000. We've got a short period of time in which we need to raise the funds to build the Life Center in Nepal. And then remember, $128, if you make that gift, you'll actually be rescuing two. If you say, "James, I can't do that," $64, someone will match it and we've rescued another one. Whatever you can do, use your bank card, use it like a check. That's how you should always use it. If you do write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us you're mailing it. You can go online, lifetoday.org. Please, please put arms of love around these desperately needy children and the women that are already trapped, and we can help them get out and have a new life. These women are being put to work making beautiful beads. Gazelle, a former fashion model and our partner there, has given these women a beautiful place to work and given them something to do. And we're going to send you one of these to say thank you if you help us rescue one of these precious lives, along with the book, Indivisible. Thank you for making the call.
Human trafficking. It's impossible to believe, but at this very moment, innocent children, many very young, are being sold and forced into sexual slavery and exploited in every way imaginable. And someone must save them. With your help today, we can reach, rescue, and restore their hope for a better future. And we can also build the New Hope Life Center in Nepal, which will be a safe house for children for years to come. And now, a miracle opportunity of a $384,000 matching gift. With a cost of $128 to rescue a child, that means your gift of $128 will be matched to help rescue two children, and $64 will be matched to help rescue one more child. With your gift, please request Indivisible by James Robison and Jay Richards, a soul-stirring read for every Christian who desires to restore America to the values that formed our strong foundation, built on faith, family, and freedom. With your gift of $128, which today will help rescue two children, you will receive a unique and beautiful necklace, handcrafted by women who were survivors of human trafficking and slavery. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000, which will be matched to $2,000 for the New Hope Life Center. And you may request the beautiful bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I would love for you to get one of these beautiful necklaces. They were made the result of love, giving these precious women an opportunity to make a living because they found a life through the love you share in the rescue life. I want to encourage you to help us build the Life Center in Nepal. We're sending the lamb and the lion bronze, absolutely beautiful. Betty and I have this in our home. We treasure it. We're asking you to make a gift of $1,000. We need to raise the $225,000. And I really sense there's someone who could give several thousand, but we're asking you to help. And then I do want to remind you that for every gift, we're sending the book Indivisible. This is our gift to you, the family of God, and to this nation as a way out of the wilderness and back into the blessings of our Lord. Please read it, encourage others to get a copy. We want you to have it. We're sending it with thanks for your help to rescue a life. Thank all of you for being with us. God bless you. Tell your friends about Wednesdays with Beth. Encourage them to watch Life Today every day.
Victim of sexual trafficking tells her story of survival tomorrow.
If I never get out of here, in my mind I was thinking, how do I call my mom?
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.